Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to our online service for Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian, and I want to welcome you to this online service, and I want to welcome you whenever you might be watching it. Well, we're continuing our conversation and our series on the last days of Jesus, and we are 1 week before Easter, and so I want to extend a special invitation to you to join us either for our online service on Easter Sunday, Sunday, April 20th, 2025, or even to join us in person for Easter worship as well. Our in-person service will be at 10 a.m. on that Sunday morning, followed by a kids' Easter egg hunt that is free and open to everybody. So again, I hope you'll enjoy your Easter celebration, and I hope we're a part of it, whatever it might be. And I hope our time together is a blessing to you as well. Does anyone else ever wish they could just snap their fingers and get something done? I mean, I think we think about this in terms of some of our chores and responsibilities at home. You stare at that sink full of dishes and you want to snap your fingers and they're done. You think about cleaning up after your pet or your kids for that matter, and you just wish it was over. Or how about the inevitable pile of laundry or laundry basket full of stuff that you have to fold and put away? Like, we want to snap our fingers and then just get that done. It'd be nice, right? Now, there's some other things that are a little more weighty in life that where we'd like to snap our fingers and have something get finished. And maybe those are awkward or hard conversations that we need to have. Maybe it's a medical procedure or a medical visit even that we just want to get it over with. Or sometimes there's a phase of life or a struggle that we have where we want to just snap our fingers and it's gone. Now, that's not how it works, is it? We have to go through the journey and we go through the times and we go through the paces. And in many ways, this is life, and sometimes we're better for it. But also, when we go through those challenges and we go through those paces, we learn something about ourselves. We learn something about how we're consistent or not. And when we wish away our lives, we miss out on something that we need to know about our lives. Now, similarly, there are many people that sometimes wonder, why doesn't God just snap God's fingers, as it were, and solve the problems of our world? Why doesn't God just snap God's fingers, and end war? Why doesn't God simply just snap fingers, as it were, metaphorically, and end global hunger, or the water shortage, or global climate change? Any number of things. Well, God could, because God can, do anything God wants to, but God doesn't. And there's another time and place where we see this and we wonder, why didn't God just snap God's fingers and make it all better? And that was perhaps at the time of the crucifixion. When Jesus died on the cross, many of us wonder, why didn't God just solve whatever was going on there by just snapping God's fingers? Now, maybe you hear that snapping of fingers and you're like me and you might conjure up an image of an Infinity Avengers level snap of fingers, whether it's Thanos or solving the problems. If you know what I'm talking about, you track with me there. If not, we can think of this as rather like a genie. When we think about God as someone who can just snap the fingers and change everything, we're reducing God to a genie, to a fake, fictional character who is just going to solve problems in the way we want God to solve problems. And when we do that, we start to believe in a God that's not worth believing in. And we then portray to others that this is who God is, that God is this cosmic butler that's going to do what we want, or a divine guidance counselor, or a genie that's just going to simply bend to our whims and do things how we want them done. But that's not a God worth believing in. And we don't want to believe in that kind of God. And we don't want to lead others to believe in that kind of God either. Rather, I think we want to believe in the kind of God that Jesus believed in, the kind of God that had Jesus' ultimate confidence and trust placed in, even at his very last moment where he was alive here on earth. And when we put our confidence in that God, the real God, we have a God worth believing in. Now let me back up just a minute here and say that Jesus has put his confidence in God all the way through his last days. From the very beginning of his final week, what we call Holy Week or the Week of Passion, starting with a triumphal entry, going through his cleansing of the temple, his weeping over Jerusalem, going through the Last Supper where he's betrayed, he predicts denial by his best friends, they fall asleep in the garden, he is put on trial, he is betrayed, he is beaten, He is scoffed at. He is pinned to a cross to die. Every single time, Jesus positions himself and we see him saying, God, I trust in you. There's a way in which Jesus is saying, God has this. God's got it. And even in the very last moment when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus' final words, according to the Gospel of Luke, are, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. God, into your hands I trust you with my life. I trust you with my spirit, he says, but he means I trust you with my body, my soul, my mind, and my spirit. And it was after that moment that Jesus dies on the cross. Now let's back up a little moment there and remember that the crucifixion that Jesus endured was horrific. That previously he had gone through this whole arrest and betrayal. He went through this sham of a trial. He goes through a time where he's being mocked and beaten. It's torture from beginning to end. He's at last finally made to carry at least the cross part, the horizontal part of his cross through the town, at least what we think is about half a mile, a little less or so. He can't even get it up the hill because he's been beaten so much already that they have to tag someone in, Simon of Cyrene is his name, to carry it the rest of the way. So when he's on the cross, he has every right, every opportunity in that moment to go, you know what? Maybe I don't trust God anymore. Maybe I can't trust God anymore. Maybe in this very moment where I'm about to die from suffocation, I am not going to trust God anymore. But instead, Jesus says, God, I trust you. God, you got this. Jesus had the ultimate confidence in God, that God was going to come through for him at that time. We don't know exactly what Jesus thought was going to happen. We don't know what Jesus thought was exactly the next step. It's unclear whether Jesus had any sense of whether he was going to be resurrected or not. And if he did, it was some kind of special insight that Jesus had from God that everybody else didn't have. But nonetheless, Jesus trusted God in that moment, the ultimate confidence. And if Jesus can have the ultimate confidence in God in that moment, that hopefully helps us be inspired to have confidence in God in our lives as well. We have great confidence because we know on the other side, Jesus didn't know. Jesus didn't know going in that he was going to come out, but we know when he went in, he came out. And we don't know exactly what happened, but we know why it happened. We know why Jesus died on the cross and God resurrected Jesus. It's because God loves you. It's because God loves me. It's because God loves God's only Son. And because of that, God brought us salvation. And we can have great confidence that that's what God was up to in that moment and working through all of that. It also gives us great confidence that God had a plan. That God had a plan that we believe was rooted in eternity, that we believe was rooted in God's very being and God's very essence. So that it wasn't that Jesus was going through his last days and then God finally decided, I'm going to snap my finger and get rid of the sin. I'm going to snap my finger and get rid of the suffering. I'm going to snap my finger and Jesus is going to be the king of Israel and Jesus is going to be the king of the world. Rather, no, Jesus has to die on a cross, which is consistent with God's promise to be with us, consistent with God's promise to be a God who took on flesh and dwelt among us. This just shows us that God is trustworthy and that we can have confidence in God like Jesus did. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have doubts. That doesn't mean we're not going to have questions about how, why, when, where, what, all these things. But it does mean that we can place our hope in a God who is consistent, in a God who is compassionate, and a God who made it work for us. The context of Jesus' last days was the Passover celebration for the people of Israel, which means that we look back and we see that Jesus was, as we would say, the Passover lamb who was sacrificed for the sake of the world. so that the wrath of God, whatever that means or whatever that looks like, would pass over us, just like God passed over in the story of the Exodus, passed over the people so that they could survive. When Jesus is that Passover lamb for us, we see it so that God passes over our sin so that it's just as if we never sinned in the first place, so we can be at one with God. Baked into all that I just said is the hope of God's justification of our sins, the hope that we are atoned for our sins so that we can move forward knowing that we are loved by God, knowing that we are God's chosen people. Every single one of us is loved by a God who we can believe in and is worth believing in. So when we think about what it means for in Jesus' final day here as a living person, that he was crucified, we can have great hope to put our confidence in God just like Jesus did. We're not going to do it perfectly, but that's okay because God did it perfectly for us. And that is good news for you and me, that we are loved by a God who is not a cosmic genie who's just going to snap the fingers, because that God could just snap things back. That God's not consistent. Our God is consistent and compassionate, and that's a God worth believing in. Now, you may be hearing this and saying to yourself, that's what I believe, and that is wonderful. You might be hearing this and you go, you know, I used to believe that, and I want to believe that again, and I think I can believe that again, because if Jesus did it, then I can try to do it. And that's wonderful too. But you also might be sitting there thinking like, well, this is something I've maybe never heard before. And that might help you find your way to believing in a God who is truly worth believing in. But it's not just about what I believe. It's not just what about you believe. It's about also helping others to believe in a God worth believing in. Because if you don't believe in a God that's worth believing in, and I don't believe in a God that's worth believing in, then we're going to unintentionally help others believe in a God that is not worth believing in. But if you put your hope, you put your trust, you believe in a God worth believing in, and if I put my hope and I put my trust in a God worth believing in, then we are going to help others believe in a God who is worth believing in. You'll help someone else put their trust in a God worth trusting. You'll help someone else put their hope in a God that is worth placing our hope. There's a lot going on in the last days of Jesus. But in this final last day, in what we celebrate as Good Friday, and it's good because of what happens, it's not good because of how it happens, it's good because of what happens on the other side, we are presented with a Savior who trusts God. We're presented with a God who is worth trusting. And because of that, we can have confidence to put our trust, our hope, and belief in this God who is consistent, compassionate, and cares for us all. That's why Jesus was crucified, so we could be loved by a God who has all these things and more. Let's believe in that God. It's certainly a God worth believing in. Would you please pray with me? God, we want to begin by saying thank you. We want to begin by saying thank you for being a God who is indeed consistent and compassionate and cares for us. We thank you that you're a God who has some skin in the game and has human skin, as we might believe in the game as well. And God, we thank you that you're a God that is worth believing in and trusting. God, in this season where we are celebrating your miraculous and amazing capacity to love us, to put us back on the path, to show us what true love looks like, God, help us to be willing to believe in you for who you are and not for what you're not. God, this is a big prayer we ask. We ask this, though, in your name. Help us to be people who put our trust and faith in you.